It's Tuesday, August 27th, and you may have noticed, not actually Krista.
Krista's missing. For the better part of a month at this point, right?
Yeah. She's moving. But we didn't know that. We would have scheduled the news around that. .. We've done it before.
Let's start with the Jeep Pie, or at least his business. Now, this is kind of a nothing burger story, but it's still being reported. And the reason I say it's a nothing burger story is because, of course, we already knew this. Who didn't know this?
The FCC has no idea how many people don't have internet or don't have broadband access, internet access. And the reason this headline is happening is because two states are now, their ISPs in those states are now reporting their subscriber base the new way that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks.
They've got 38%
of the people that were previously reported do not have internet access, do not in fact have internet access. That's 38% of rural homes and businesses that the FCC previously counted as having internet access do not in fact have internet access. That's more than, it's almost 500,000 unconnected homes.
Here's what's weird about this story, though. So this is CostQuest Associates, a consulting firm working for U.S. Telecom, an industry lobby group that represents AT&T, Verizon, CenturyLink, Frontier, and other fiber and DSL broadband providers. So it's kind of weird how
a lobbyist working for the industry,
a Jeep Pie, kind of fudged the numbers to make it look better for them.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, they've hired outside counsel to be like, no, he's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, is that a PR move or?
Well, no, it's by law. It's, they changed, like, the law is that they changed the way that it was reporting because a couple of weeks ago or over the last few weeks, we've covered how it used to be if you service one home in a census block, that counts. But that no longer counts by law.
But if you're the lobby group and you're hiring these people, could they just not find one that would lie?
Apparently. It is really interesting, though. I mean, as much as we do the Level 1 news, a Jeep Pie is very hardworking, like in the most evil way possible, to be sure.
He's the hardest working man in corruption.
It's crazy, though. Like, most politicians, like, you don't, there's just nothing to report on week to week what they're doing. But he is single-handedly dismantling the broadband infrastructure in America. It's crazy.
Oh, listen, he appreciates his position. He knows who got him to the dance. And he's going to serve them. And that's not the American people. Robocalling. This is another story that we hear week after week after week. And it's always the same thing. And here's more of it.
Phone companies and state attorneys general announce a broad campaign to fight robocalls. So let me just sum up what's happened here. The technical people have managed to convince the state attorneys general that are mostly Luddites that they're going to handle this and that everything will be fine and it'll be totally okay. But what this is actually turning into is a scheme for telecom companies to actually make more money from robocalls. It's basically not, we're going to block robocalls. It is, we need you to pay us in order to robocall, which of course naturally will result in a reduction of robocalls, but also an opportunity for profit.
It's the stir-shaking thing. Now, we reported on this. I can't remember which company it was. They were like, yeah, we've got this technology. We're going to give it to our mobile customers, but not everybody else. And so I think some things have happened and some deals have been made. So now they are going to give it to everybody else and they're going to share it amongst the industry.
Do you think the telecom companies made it this bad in the first place in order to have a new alternative revenue stream?
No, they probably didn't. They're not that forward thinking. They're just capitalizing on a crisis.
Let's allow this problem to fester and then sit back and collect the fees.
Check out this stock photo. They went to such great lengths to match the theme of the phone to the nails.
Wow.
That's attention to detail if you're a stock photographer. Good job. Story number three continues the trend. It's the same stuff week after week. It's almost as if they have these talking points that they know people want to hear. And they just keep saying them. And these websites keep running the stories.
Shame on you, TechCrunch. Not really. I mean, it's fine. States to launch antitrust investigation into big tech companies, a report says. So you're thinking about tech companies. What they really mean is Facebook, mostly. Google, not far behind that.
Amazon
and some other companies. Twitter is very surprising because Twitter is hemorrhaging money.
Well, it's not. We talked about this last week. I don't think it's so much the money as it is the political clout.
Yeah.
And
we blocked that video.
The shaping of the public thinking. And now this is a little bit different because this is attorneys general of a variety, 20 states. Before last week, it was the FTC. So this week it's the states. But everybody's got these companies in their crosshairs. You got to be shaking in your boots if you're Zuckerberg.
There was one thing in this article that I had not considered, and that is, you know how we were talking about the whole Facebook merger of Instagram, and it's going to be Instagram by Facebook, a little bit like Jacob by Mark Jacobs for Mark Jacobs, that whole thing. So if Facebook proceeds with that level of integration internally, company-wise, that's going to make a breakup as a result of this in the not-too-distant future much more difficult.
Well, I think the FTC guy mentioned that in that article last week. He was like, hey, we're telling you that this is wrong and that we're looking into it, and you're consolidating?
We need to hurry up the consolidation to make it more difficult for you to do that. I think, does that mean that Google with Alphabet is more forward-thinking so that if there is a monopoly breakup, they can just be like, all the components of Alphabet are now autonomous. We don't care.
Probably, but it won't really be like that.
Even if all of the components of Alphabet were autonomous, if search was one of those, that's large enough to be considered a monopoly on its own.
But are you going to stop the search team from working with the ad team? Those are so integrated.
Yeah, that would be difficult. It's like you're not allowed to work together by law.
And then you're not allowed to use the search data to fuel the ads. So what's the point of the ads now? So you kind of...
Oh, that's foreshadowing for another story about the ad sandbox thing.
Well, and so now we can remove... We can get out of the trend of the same old, same old. This is one that you rarely hear. And this is some excellent news. And you kind of have to wonder because... The email spear phishing and scamming is so ubiquitous. I mean, we get them every day, but nobody ever gets caught, right? Well, finally.
Justice Department has indicted 80 individuals in a massive business email scam bust. So the Department of Justice and the FBI worked together on this one, and they actually rounded up 80 people, and they've been charged. So this is going to be interesting to see how this unfolds. These individuals were responsible for sending millions upon millions of emails.
Well, these individuals weren't. The people... that were actually doing the grunt work of the scam are in Africa. These guys were just here to move the money around. Mm. And they mentioned it was like $80 million?
Yeah.
They made a lot of money from this.
There are a lot of lonely old people that talked to the Microsoft support scammers and gave them a lot of money.
Yeah. And these are Nigerians. These are the Nigerian princes that you've heard of. Which is funny because... they really do have millions of dollars. They're not going to give it to you.
Now, I will say that, well, I mean, this is, I probably shouldn't say that. But there is a certain, I remember an argument from a politician a number of years ago that was something to the effect of, the heathens in Nigeria got internet access. They weren't ready for it. Of course, this is going to happen. And we discover we brought it on ourselves.
But is it really heathenry? I mean, they're kind of adroit. At using it.
Yeah.
We're the idiots in this equation.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. Valentin Eero and... Give that one a shot. Can you pronounce that?
Valentin Eero and Chukwudi.
I think that's right.
Christognagnus Igbokwe.
You really didn't get the last one. But
Igbokwe.
Igbokwe?
Igbokwe.
Yeah. These were the highest level guys they caught. These were the guys that had... It was $3 billion since 2015. Wow, it's a billion-dollar industry. That is staggering, not just because of the amount of money. What do you think the average steal is?
Well, it costs $3 billion, but they only made a few million. Like, the ransomware destroyed $3 billion worth of businesses, but a very small fraction of people actually paid the
But they do mention some, like, $30 million or something. But so what do you think is the average take per victim?
Like per victim?
Mm.
Well, if the victim responds, it's a lot. But if the victim doesn't respond, then it's not much. So if you take into... If it's everybody who received an email, it's pennies on the dollar. I mean, it's like you know, they profited about 5 cents per email.
Thanks, TechCrunch. I did too much scrolling. Anyway, I'm glad they caught him. Although the true offenders remain, the African princes remain at large. We do have extradition with Africa. Think they'll give him up?
No, I don't think. I think that, I mean, so this is a situation where the criminal enterprise was literally happening in California, not Nigeria. It's just that the dudes in California were actually from Nigeria, but it was like, I know some people in another country that would happily do this email thing, and it's like, what?
Well, I think they were funneling money back.
Yeah.
So, follow the money, right? Do you remember that time that ruling came against Qualcomm just out of nowhere?
From the FTC,
and yeah. The government was, like, at odds about whether or not we should do it, and everybody was like, what's going on here? Because this was the week after Qualcomm and Apple settled their stuff.
Yeah.
And Qualcomm was riding high because they had won. Well, that story continues to drag on and nothing's really happening.
Qualcomm wins a pause in the enforcement of the FTC ruling. So the FTC ruled against Qualcomm in the antitrust suit, which is amazing to me because a lot of the evidence in the FTC antitrust thing was from Apple. And in the Apple versus Qualcomm suit, it showed that Apple was acting in bad faith, quite plainly, very bad faith, malicious, in fact. And I don't understand how the FTC didn't look at the evidence presented in that case and maybe think that Apple was being, you know, not exactly honest.
So the ruling here is they invalidated all of those licensing agreements and they had to go back and renegotiate without the requirement.
Without the requirement, they license a patent.
Right. So this puts a pause on that. So I guess those agreements will go forward for another, was it 90 days?
And it's worth pointing out that the patent licensing thing was part of something called FRAND, like fair and reasonable, I don't know. FRAND is like an industry standard patent licensing practice. And Qualcomm's technology, legit, is the most valuable. Like, that was demonstrated with Intel constantly dropping the ball with their 5G modem, both in terms of power utilization and in terms of just how good it was. And Qualcomm was not pulling, you know, say an Intel where it's like, oh, we've got the market leader. We're going to charge you $3,000 for that 28-core 5 gigahertz processor that requires 1 horsepower of liquid cooling. That's what market leaders do. And Qualcomm is not doing that.
We'll see. Maybe they'll just let them off. Maybe after they get their teeth into Facebook and Apple and Google and get that revenue stream, they'll just quietly let Qualcomm go. We'll see. Drones. We, of course, have learned that, you know, we're going to get delivery by drone and we're going to get surveillance by drone and drones are going to kill us eventually. I mean, they're kind of already doing that. So, if you are the keeper of the drones, that has to keep you up at night, right? Because you know what they're capable of. What do you do? There's an answer.
The U.S. Army wants to microwave drones in midair. High-powered microwave weapons would fry the electronics in an unmanned aerial vehicle. It's basically phasers from Star Trek. This is a very early phaser from Star Trek, and they're going to, you know, shoot stuff out of the air.
This is literally just a big-ass generator. That's all that's in that box is a big generator, and this thing up here is the microwave. And they have a little video. It's only a few seconds long. Oh, there she goes. Yep, that's the microwave. It's a little anticlimactic because you can't see it. And it's now, the cool thing about this is they talk about how there's a targeting system, but it's pretty broad spectrum microwave. So even if the targeting system is taken offline, just point it in the general direction of where you think they're coming, and it'll take them down. As long as the generator's running. The other thing is, fleets of drones, which we're afraid of, you know, it's like swarming drones, each with their own bomb or whatever. No problem for this thing. Just you know, back and forth to wipe them out.
Definitely don't stand in front of it.
That could be bad for your internal organs and your cellular makeup, for sure.
A lot of things. Also, that's another foreshadowing for a story later later this week or later in this episode.
Now, this one turned out to be a video, but it's not a complicated thing. So
this is the shortest story that we've ever had on the Level 1 News.
We've had videos by mistake before. But it is interesting. So what was the name of these little pouches? I've seen these used at concerts and stuff.
Like the little RFID pouches?
They have a brand name or whatever. But you can, like, if you go to a concert or a comedy show or something, sometimes they'll secure your phone in this little pouch. It's like checking your coat. On the way out, you give them your card and they unlock it and they take their pouch back. Well, we've got a new user of the pouches.
California high schools, as it turns out, has banned students from using smartphones. So you go to the school, you get a little badge, it goes in the little RF blocking pouch, and it locks. And the only way to unlock it is, like, with the token or whatever. So, nice.
So, you get it back at the end of the day. You do get to keep your phone, but you don't get to... now, there's one part of this video I wanted to... Okay, this is the part of the video right here. The scroll under this identifies this guy as a student. What is he, 36? Look at that guy. That's a high school student?
There's a lot of hormones in the beef these days.
Some of the students were lamenting it, and one of the things that the biggest complaint was, I'm not even allowed to do it at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And, like, what happens? Also, if your phone starts ringing, it's in the pouch, you can't stop it, right?
No, it blocks radio waves, I thought. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah, I guess it could easily just be a little Faraday cage. So I expect this will pick up. We'll see more of this.
Yeah.
It was spread by the propaganda from that company. They probably sponsored this video.
Look at how much the grades have improved since people aren't worrying about instant communication anymore.
Some of the kids actually did admit that they felt like they were doing better. So, gosh, there's several clicks to get to the meat of this thing of who was affected. Here we go. So there's really no headline. This is the Texas.gov page, but the story is cyber attack that affected a lot of agencies.
So it turns out governments like to share their infrastructure. It was the Federal Bureau of Investigation Cyber in Texas, Federal Emergency Management Agency in Texas, other cybersecurity partners in Texas, the Texas Division of Emergency Management, the Texas Military Department, Texas A&M University Systems. Wait, why is the university connected to these things? Dun, 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 dun. Department of Public Safety, Cybersecurity, Computer Information Systems, Technology and Electronic Crime Unit, and several other divisions.
Massive, massive cyber attack. The whole state, basically.
Everything was connected together, which is a no-no.
So they are having a pretty hard time, and they have, this is update, what was it, like update number 3 or whatever. So they're kind of giving a blow-by-blow of what happened and telling these government agencies, here's what to do, considering nothing works. I don't know if they've fixed it up by now or not. They did not do an update after August 20th.
Yeah, they did confirm it was ransomware. So it's amazing that the ransomware was able to spread through the network that completely.
What do you think? I mean, I guess this is just the glacial movement of bureaucracy. But do you think government agencies that haven't been affected by now, are they aware of this? Are they talking about this?
No.
Like, hey, did you guys see that what happened in all these other states and it was the worst thing ever? What if that happened to us?
The other agencies that haven't been affected by this, is it's just because they haven't ported the ransomware to Card Punch yet.
So, look forward to this coming to your town soon.
Your town doesn't even have proper backups. What are we talking about?
Space crime.
I read this, and this seems like a nothing burger that the media is, like, just running wild with.
Well, it's a juicy story, right? Because
only because space.
Well, not just because of space. Because space crime is so hot. It's the first time we've had a space crime, right? Unless you count the drilling of the hole in the space station. We don't know what happened there. That could have been malicious. But this is, I guess, not convicted, but proven space crime. Also, it was a woman, which is, you know, that's hot news. And her partner was a woman,
yeah,
who was the victim. So this checks all the boxes.
Well, so the headline for the BBC News is NASA said to be investigating the first allegation of a crime in space. So apparently these two had shared a bank account, but they separated and they no longer shared a bank account. But the space crime here was that the one partner checked the other partner's bank account. Now,
from space.
From space.
That's the important part. From the space station. Literally used the space station connection to log into a bank.
Now, she said through her lawyer that the reason for that was to check to make sure that her partner had enough money to take care of a kid. There's a kid involved.
I think
involved.
They had a joint child. I don't know if it was adopted or if like one of them had it.
So, I don't know. I don't know if this is one. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that situation? Or if that, like, this doesn't really seem that malicious. Because wasn't like she's taking money or anything like that.
But the other woman did report it and press charges.
Yeah.
So.
But she had the password. It's not like she hacked into it. It's like she knew the password.
Well, just because you know somebody's password doesn't mean it's okay to log into their bank account.
That's true.
Now, should she do time for this? Probably not. That seems
excessive.
Overboard, but at the same time, okay, throw out everything you know about this story and make it like a creepy, stalkerish guy who won't leave somebody alone.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing this from the jail instead of the space station. And you're going to look at it under a different light.
What if it was a joint bank account that they just hadn't settled yet? Like, it was originally a joint bank account, and then it's not now because they're separated, but they just hadn't finalized that.
If her name was still on it, there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. It had to be under the other person's name.
Yeah.
So, only the other person's name.
I don't know if there's criminal charges yet or not, but maybe.
It's a great headline. And we've established space crime. So now they do answer the question. You're wondering who takes care of space crime, right? Well, this would be a federal investigation because it crosses state lines. But there's a rule about space, and it's whatever nation you're from prosecutes you for your space crimes under the laws of that nation, which is interesting because, like, what if we had somebody in the space station who was from a place with Sharia law?
I was thinking more like Russia. Like, what if the person in Russia was, like, installing malware on the space station, and it's like, hey, Putin ordered me to do this.
Or China. You know, he's watching some copyright films up there, and I'm like, you pirated those. Like, bro, I'm from China. Just back off. We don't play.
I think it's already like that.
And speaking of space, remember that scrappy little Indian space program?
Chandrayaan?
And they were going to the moon.
That was the name of the thing.
Good news.
They made it to the moon. The Indian spacecraft launched last month is now orbiting the moon. The next thing is it's going to land. It's going to land in a flat spot between two craters, and it's AI. Ooh, hand wavy. That is going to try to pilot the thing and have a soft landing. It's landing somewhere that no other moon lander has ever landed before, and it's going to try to figure out exactly how much water is hidden in these two craters because they're in shadows because of where they are.
It's the dark side.
So,
it's the dark side of the moon, and that's why there's ice there. And they suspect there could be tons and tons of ice there.
Yeah.
Which will make a perfect space station place.
Space gas station.
Although, in perpetual darkness.
In perpetual darkness. Well, I mean, if they can manufacture fuel, just start, you know, burning it. Like, have the have the oxygen and the fuel and then just burn it for light. Maybe the moon will end up with a thin atmosphere.
That seems a little wasteful. How great would it be if we managed to terraform the moon by mistake, by polluting it to the point that we created greenhouse gases? The old unintended consequences. Well, facial recognition, we talk about this every week. Now, here in the States, there's this very two-sided approach to facial recognition. Some of our more liberal states and cities are outright banning it. And some of the more aggressive ones are basically partnering with Amazon. And we have, it's very different. But over in the EU, they're looking to make some laws about this.
The EU wants strict limits for indiscriminate facial recognition. Europe could introduce sweeping reforms governing how facial recognition technology can be used. So CNET has a write-up here and an article. There are some differing opinions in the EU as to how this should work, but it seems like pretty much universally they agree that law enforcement should not have access to a database of facial recognition where they can just, you know, Google the database basically and be like, you know, where was Katie Holmes this week?
They also think there should be rules about when you are under facial recognition, there needs to be a ton of signage so that you know, because you should have the option of just turning around and walking away before you get into facial recognition.
You're getting really near Downing Street. So you're on CCTV, but the facial recognition is turned on. But when you cross this street, the facial recognition will be turned up to 11.
You know what they should do? They should graduate the coloring of the streetlights for the level of surveillance. You start out at a nice green, and you go into just a deep, foreboding red.
A nice Kremlin red.
Have you seen the footage? Those Hong Kong protesters are cutting down the facial recognition camera trees.
That's amazing.
That is... what a great protest. I mean, when you see people on marches and, like, burning cars and setting businesses on fire, it's like, what are we really accomplishing here? But you got to give it up to the Chinese. You know, they're so pragmatic. They're getting some good stuff done while they're doing their protests.
It's like, listen, we're not gonna loot Tony's pizza. He's a hardworking businessman. But that camera recognition tower, it's coming down.
I think it's great. Fantastic. We have heard of a lot of... weird things happening with the internet come out of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Ukraine was the one that shut down the heating, right?
Yeah.
In the building.
Because it was mining cryptocurrency.
Yeah. And a lot of... this is another one of those places where... kind of like Nigeria, where it's kind of lawless, but you have some really talented people who don't have a means to otherwise use that talent or that intelligence. So they do stuff like this.
Employees connect a nuclear plant to the internet so they can mine cryptocurrency. Yeah, it's a nuclear plant, tons of free electricity. What do you get when you have free electricity? You mine some crypto.
It makes a lot of sense, yeah. And, you know, probably would have never noticed that even that huge draw on electricity in a nuclear plant, right?
Yeah.
It really is a great place to do it. But they were found out. They found the hardware. And they were trying to hide it in, like, the nondescript regular office computers, which in, you know, like, Ukraine is former Soviet. They were probably, like, the drab, you know, brown, basic cube PC case. It's like, looks like it's from the 80s.
Why does this 486 have a 2080 Ti in it?
Well, that's the thing. It had, was it, they were 470s, I think, right?
Yeah.
They mentioned what they were. It wasn't ASICs. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. The RX 470 GPU, and they had six in one situation, and then they had
five in the other one.
Another one with more of them in it. So what they're talking about here is this: they're not charging them with theft, even though that's what you'd think they would do, but they're saying because a nuclear power plant is a critical infrastructure and a state building, by doing this, you've created a security risk. And that's what they're going after him for, which probably carries a lot more of a penalty.
Yeah. Now, if they just plugged into the electrical grid and ran their own networking wires, it would have been fine.
Well,
mostly.
So there was like an administrative building, and then there was the plant itself. And they were in the administrative building. And ZDNet did not, they weren't able to ascertain if the two networks were connected.
They probably
So that might have been the case. Although if you could get into the administrative part of the network as a hacker, you would still have access to some important stuff.
At the very least, you could, you know, fake an email from the administrator that's like, go remove the cooling rods right now. Do it.
Run a patch cable over to the other building and plug it in. Speaking of the Russians, or at least people in the general vicinity of the Russians, Moscow came up with, they're going to have an election pretty soon. And they came up with a brilliant new system. Of course, we talked last week about Georgia's voting system, which Windows XP
is bad.
And it's flawed, and we found terrible problems with it, but we're going to go ahead and use it because there's no time not to. Well, This kind of mirrors that, although at least they tried, right?
Moscow's blockchain voting system, who knew, cracked a month before the election. French researcher nets a $15,000 prize for finding bugs in Moscow's Ethereum-based voting system. So, I wonder how Moscow coerces the votes. Like, do they just have people standing over the people that are voting and is like, no, you're going to vote this way?
Well, so the way that this is compromised is very suspicious, I think, because it isn't the method of cryptography. It's that they used a shockingly short key. A key so short that the researcher beat it in 20 minutes with a desktop. And it was a French guy, and he was like, listen, I don't speak the language that this software is in, so I don't know exactly how much I just broke it, but here's the private key. And I did this in 20 minutes. So what you're saying, like, was that on purpose?
Yeah.
Or was it just someone who didn't know what they were doing?
Yes.
I mean, I could totally see it going both ways. I could totally see it being, okay, we're going to do blockchain voting. Cousin Vladimir, you know how to do that, right? And he's like, he woke up and was like, well, yeah, sure. And he went to the internet and he got the most basic
tutorial
blockchain. And then they used a very short key for simplicity and he implemented it. Or it could be, hey, we're going to change these votes later, so make it so we can hack it. And he's like, I got you. Yeah. No problem. Either way, $15,000 prize.
Nice.
Not bad. Denmark. What was this? We did a story about Denmark last week. What was it?
The royal family?
I think that was somewhere else. I don't know. You might be right. I don't know. I thought we did another story. But anyway, Denmark is generally pretty liberal and up to date, and you know, like, you don't hear all these terrible things about them usually. I don't think we've ever had like a have we ever had a data leak out of Denmark? That might have been what it was.
Oh yeah, the data leak. Yeah.
Anyway, one thing that they do in Denmark is they use phone location, just like we do. If you remember the Google case, where it's like the feds, hey Google, give us every phone that connected to this cell tower in the last month because we're looking for a murderer. Well, they do that in Denmark. But there's a problem.
Flaws in cell phone evidence prompt review of 10,000 verdicts in Denmark. So this has to do with location finding, location tracking, and just even like time of day type stuff. It's a, you know, in these court cases, the prosecutor will say, it's like, no, we knew with absolute certainty this is what this was. But it turns out that it wasn't so certain.
And they were even associating the wrong phone numbers with certain locations, which means that you could be considered a suspect in a crime. You were never even there. However, it seems to be an import problem because the phone company said, listen, we just gave them access to the data. Our data is correct. So we don't think this has anything to do with us. This has to do with the police importing the data incorrectly, which is terrifying.
Neat.
So all these cases have to be reviewed and possibly retried.
Can you imagine if phone company system, somebody has a typo in the account name, there's just an errant comma in there, and like the police do the CSV export, and then like every row after that is shifted by one and they don't notice and they're like, eh, this is fine.
Yeah, I could imagine that pretty easily, actually.
I think we've experienced that.
Speaking of foreign governments and doing terrible things, remember Kazakhstan? Kazakhstan had their root certificate, and it wasn't really a brilliant move. It wasn't a hack. They literally just said, hey, install this certificate or we'll kill you.
It doesn't get any more ham-fisted than that, really.
Well, I guess good news, maybe, if you're from Kazakhstan, because, you know, our glorious tech companies are taking a stand.
Apple, Google, and Mozilla block Kazakhstan's HTTPS intercepting certificate. So Kazakhstan has popped up and said, it was just a test. But this thoroughly and completely defeated their HTTPS intercepting certificate. The bad news, though, is that this root certificate, like the trust for this root certificate, is still installed on a lot of PCs in Kazakhstan because ISPs told their customers they had to install this if they wanted internet access. And so now these companies are detecting those certificates and will not let you browse if it's injected. So Kazakhstan turned it off because they called attention to the fact that Kazakhstan was doing this. Like, I think that, you know, your average internet-going citizen in Kazakhstan might not have put two and two together. Like, the ISP is having me installed. Oh, it means the state can spy on my stuff? What?
Yeah. And, of course, if they just straight up blocked you, they might not understand that either. You know, you got this old rural grandma in Kazakhstan. She just wants to go and look at Facebook pictures. And all of sudden,
potatoes.
And now she can't do that. So it's a mess. And you got to wonder. Yeah, I don't think this is going to stop them. I think they'll just try to be a little bit more covert in their next attempt.
This was just a test. Which is what they said to avoid utter embarrassment.
I should already be embarrassed. We talked about crimes in space, but other things went to space this week as well. And this one is considerably more exciting, I think.
Russia sends its first humanoid robot, Fedor, into space. It's like virtual reality, augmented reality. The dude in the VR helmet is the robot. And it's being held up with rope, I just noticed.
I think that's just for the photo.
Oh, okay.
Because it's going to be weightless.
They said that they strapped him in, and the robot pilot said, here we go. I guess that's something like what Yuri Gagarin said, the first Russian that was in orbit, first person to orbit.
Also,
who was Russian?
Before the corrections, I believe it is Fyodor in Russian.
Fyodor. Oh.
I know that because of Emelianenko. So, yeah, he's going to go up into space, and we don't know how good he is at doing things in zero gravity. That's what they're trying to do. Now, the cool thing about him, he's AI. He can learn these tasks once they are performed. So let's say you have him turn a screw with a screwdriver a couple of times. Well, then maybe he'll be able to do that on his own.
We're sending the robot to space because we can't have the cosmonauts drilling holes in the side of the space station anymore. The robot will just vent the compartment into space, close it, and then...
And he's guaranteed not to hack your bank account while he's up there. That's the other cool thing about it.
He lacks the manual dexterity.
They also talked about maybe he would be used for deep space missions once he gets good. You know, he's got to get good for a while, then we'll just launch him out.
Well, the communication there would be a problem. I mean, the latency of signals to the moon is substantial. So,
well, that's the thing. Once he learns...
He can just be on autopilot.
He doesn't have to have the human driver anymore. So I don't know how good he'd be at analyzing what to apply to a given situation. Maybe a loose screw, you know, he could figure that out.
I honestly expected Amazon to do this first. Like, they've got the little wrist things, and we joked about that. And I sort of expected Amazon to be the first people with humanoid robots that were trained based on, like, the wrist pickers data. So, like, the AI is trained that way.
What if you had... So, you've got those shelves that drive themselves, right? And they have quadrants set up on them. That's how they track everything, right? So let's say you're getting a book from Quadrant 4. How many other Amazon employees at that same moment are getting a book from Quadrant 4? What if those other ones were robots and they were simply waiting for a human to hit the same quadrant for the same type of item to mimic their movement?
We don't know how to do this. We got to wait for a human to do it. Oh, okay. Now we know.
But you still save time, right?
Yeah.
And money.
Yes.
Yeah. Waymo. We talked about UPS having the self-driving truck that was secret. And actually, somebody in the comment was like, hey, you say, where's Waymo? Here in Phoenix, because Phoenix is where they do everything, they're everywhere and we hate them. But
thank you, random commenter.
The suffering of the Phoenicians might be benefiting the rest of humanity.
Waymo has released a self-driving open data set for free for use by the research community. So probably all of this data is coming from Phoenix.
Yeah, and now you might be thinking, oh, that's a little crazy to give that to your competitors, right? Well, there is a license agreement. I imagine it's pretty egregious, but they're saying that they'll give this to academics, but they could also be talked into giving it to a small self-driving startup type of deal.
Hmm.
Because they do want to move the industry forward.
How long until Elon Musk downloads this? It's like, oh man, I need the secrets.
He's definitely got a copy. he's starting a university right now just to get a copy of this.
He flew to American Samoa just because the license couldn't be enforced there.
Ironically, he's going to resurrect the University of Phoenix for that purpose. I was not aware of this. Have you ever heard of this before?
Yes, yes.
This is surprising to me. So when we were growing up, they had just converted. Right before our time, all standardized testing was bubble sheets. And we did that in grade school. But by the time we got to high school, it was like, no, we must write essays. Everyone must write essays. And grading essays takes a long time. And I imagine that you want to kill yourself after about 20 of them. It's got to be pretty, especially for high school students. Well, there's an answer.
Flawed algorithms are grading millions of students' essays. Fooled by gibberish and highly susceptible to human bias, automated essay scoring systems are being increasingly adopted, a motherboard investigation has found. So I think probably about a year ago, we did a story on a student that submitted a paper that was just complete gibberish. Just
word salad?
Yeah.
I remember that now, yeah.
And this is, you know, they're still using it. It's like, it's fine. You know, what student is going to have the balls to submit a word salad paper? Turns out kind of a lot.
Now, they point out two unique instances of how this works. Now, it's funny because they claim that this is somewhat racist, right? But language is a standard. There is a right and wrong. So they point out that overwhelmingly black students, because of their cultural bias, they don't use proper grammar. And they'll leave out words and they'll mix things around in sentences. And, you know, I mean, we've all heard the cultural speak of some people. And the algorithm hates it. And it marks it down. And they're saying that the algorithm cannot identify creativity or even a correct answer. All it sees is "we is," and it just flushes it. Meanwhile, Chinese students, who also were not great at the language game, were amazing at vocabulary. And the algorithm loves it because it's kind of like the word salad that we were talking about. So, and, you know, pretty consistently they would see that black students would be graded low, whereas Chinese students would be graded high, which is interesting. Because the algorithm doesn't know the race of the child.
Yeah, it's like it stumbles across the words. It's like, oh, this is the correct use of the word cromulent. Excellent, plus 10 points.
It's literally like that. So it's interesting now, but at this point, to go back to grading by hand, I don't think we could ever do that, right?
No.
I mean, it's just too much work.
It's too much work, and nobody wants to do it.
So
What sort of a hell have we created for ourselves when it's like we can't even be bothered to educate the next generation? It's like, it's too much work. No one wants to do this.
But I will say, as much as, you know, AI can't be racist, let's just stop pretending that it is. It can't be. It is just the fact that we give it rules to follow and it's following them. But are we really teaching our children anything if we're not grading them based on actually coming to the right conclusion? It's how well they presented it.
Not just that, but also it's like, is there a thinking problem here, or is there like a rationality problem? Because you could get into a situation where the student is writing something that is completely like the wrong way to think about a problem, and the AI would never catch that. It'd be like, oh yeah, this is really well reasoned.
If you gave me a problem about the curvature of the earth, right? Like I'm estimating some issue based on the travel of a bullet concerning the curvature of the earth and bullet drop. And as a student, I gave you a brilliantly worded, perfectly grammatically correct essay about the earth being flat. Do I get graded well for that?
Yes. Yeah, you absolutely would.
What kind of terrifying world is that?
Unrelated, there was one of those flat earther shows where the guy accidentally proved that Earth was round, and he was like, huh, that's weird. I'll have to look into that.
We got a great flat Earth story coming up later. Not in this episode. I can't remember which section it's in, actually. I think it's in social media.
Oh, I thought this was going to nonsense, but I guess it's fine.
You put this in here.
Well, is this, did we, okay, yeah, because we're doing robots. I thought robots was going to go with nonsense.
You categorized this one.
It's fine.
I can't take responsibility for that one. So yeah, this is nonsense. But if you think about it, again, it's the AI.
Yeah.
And the AI simply cannot make moral or critical thinking calls.
Like you were saying, it's not racist. It just sees violence against something and it's like, no, this must stop.
That makes a lot of sense, right?
Save the robots. YouTube accidentally removed robot battle videos for animal cruelty. Robot builders across the country cried out in agony. This is mostly fixed at this point, but there are still reports of videos that are being flagged for animal cruelty. And there are still a lot of videos with animal cruelty on YouTube. It's crazy. But yeah, it's like, oh, look, this robot exploded. It's like, nope, animal cruelty.
Who's consuming those videos? Is that really a popular thing to watch?
Animal cruelty? Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, wow. So, but I also wonder, what about nature videos? Like, if a pack of lions is pulling down a water buffalo or a wildebeest?
Oh, yeah, that's going to get flagged.
How would it know the difference? Because if it can't tell the difference between a robot and a small animal, and if the robots are just fighting, like, I've definitely, on the Level 1 Cats channel, we have two cats fighting on there. Is that going to get flagged? Because I assure you, there's no cruelty. They love it.
I am sure that all of that is going to be demonetized, including this video, for well, just even mentioning any of this.
Level 1 Cats is not monetized. Does not have that many subscribers.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'll see you tomorrow when we're going to have
business and I can't remember what the other one is. I think we're going to do social on Friday. So it'll probably be business and security.
Business and security, and definitely not Krista. See you tomorrow.